The general store was the next biggest building, also boasting a sheltering awning and two long wooden benches under its cluttered windows for passers-by to rest upon. There was a flagpole in front of the Masonic Hall. From its top, a tattered Union Jack fluttered, faded in the stiff breeze. As yet, the town possessed no garage, horseless carriages being limited to a very few. But there was a blacksmith's barn near the Masonic Hall, with a stable behind it and a gasoline pump standing stiffly next to the horse trough. The only edifice in the entire settlement which really caught the eye was a peculiar bright blue shop, very un-British. Every other building was painted a sober brown. The public school and the Church of England stood side by side, just opposite the Sacred Heart Church and Parish School. As the Clearys hurried past the general store, the Catholic bell sounded, followed by the heavier tolling of the big bell on a post in front of the public school. Bob broke into a trot, and they entered the gravel yard as some 50 children were lining up in front of a diminutive nun, wielding a willowy stick taller than she was. Without having to be told, Bob steered his kin to one side away from the lines of children, and stood with his eyes fixed on the cane. The Sacred Heart Convent was two-storied, but because it stood well back from the road behind a fence, the fact was not easily apparent. The three nuns of the Order of the Sisters of Mercy, who staffed it, lived upstairs with a fourth nun who acted as housekeeper and was never seen. Downstairs were the three big rooms in which school was taught. A wide, shady veranda ran all the way around the rectangular building, where on rainy days the children were allowed to sit decorously during their play and lunch breaks, and where on sunny days no child was permitted to set foot. Several large fig trees shaded a part of the spacious grounds, and behind the school the land sloped away a little to a grassy circle euphemistically christened the cricket pitch, from the chief activity that went on in that area. Ignoring muffled sniggers from the lined-up children, Bob and his brother stood perfectly still while the pupils marched inside to the sound of Sister Catherine plunking Faith of Our Fathers on the tinny school piano. Only when the last child had disappeared did Sister Agatha break her rigid pose. Heavy serge skirts swishing the gravel aside imperiously, she strode to where the Clearys waited. Meggie gaped at her, never having seen a nun before,